The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have a life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus. The word of God is not chained, and the mercy of God is without end. In no way can the word of God be stopped, be silenced, and it certainly cannot be put to death. Whoever tries will know they have failed when they see it rise again in the hearts of the believers. But Thomas was in doubt for that entire week until the Lord went right through the locked door, breathed on the apostles the Holy Spirit, and appeared to him again the next week so that he could feel the wounds and touch the risen Lord. You know, Pope Emeritus Benedict recently visited a prison outside of Rome, and he brought to the prisoners the message of hope that even in prison, their sins can be forgiven. He said a mass with them, and he promised them, he assured them that God's mercy can penetrate right through those walls into their cell, and that the Lord can be with them. And that's exactly the message we need to hear today. No matter what we've surrounded ourselves with, or those that we miss who are not here with us, no matter what sinfulness might surround us in our life, the Lord can pierce through it at any moment. And he can say, "See, here I am, I'm risen. The word of God is not chained." Many people are trapped in their doubts and in their sinfulness. It's kind of a self-imprisonment. We can be trapped through many types of abuse, drug abuse. We can be trapped in a life of sin. We can be imprisoned especially through wanting too much, needing too much, too many things. The house, the endless pursuit of the next thing, that can trap us too. And the Lord wants to free us from all of those because he's not a jailer. He's a merciful Father, the merciful Judge. Now we know that nature is not always so merciful. If you stick your hand in a fire, it's going to burn. If you fall from a tall building, you're going to be seriously injured or killed. The laws of nature do not change. Now, sometimes we can be forgiving. Sometimes our fellow men are forgiving, but not always. We can also be very cruel and vindictive. So what a blessing that in the end, we don't depend on nature or even our fellow men to judge us, but on the merciful Father. The risen Christ comes to free us today from our sin. You know, once there was a child, he was walking out of the confessional, and it was said that he actually bumped into God the Father, believe it or not. And he looked up and he recognized it was God, and he said, "God, you know everything, right?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, I guess you can tell me the sins that I just confessed in the confessional." And God looked down at the child and said, "I forgot them." Because once you confess them, God does forget them. He erases them as if they never existed. And today on this Divine Mercy Sunday, we especially put our trust in the Lord that when we go to the confessional, that the Lord not just simply ticks off a box, he forgets the sin. It's no more. Jesus gave the apostles and priests the power to free all men when he breathed the Holy Spirit on them and said, "Whoever sins you forgive, they shall be forgiven, and whoever sins you retain are retained." There's no other sacrament on the earth. You know, some people are a little confused about what the confessional is really about. Is it just like going to get counseling or self-help? Is it just like going to tell a counselor across the street, "I pay for an hour, I tell them everything that's going on, and I leave feeling a little better"? No, it's nothing like that. It has a power that's not based off of the person of the priest. There may be wise counselors, wise psychologists who can give you really good advice. But it's not about the person of the priest. It's about Jesus being in the presence, there with you. And we know the difference between talking to someone and getting counsel and feeling the power of the forgiveness of sins. So we have to be sowers of peace, sowers of hope for the whole world, because just as we easily receive for free the divine mercy, we should be instruments of it and give it to others for free without demanding too much or judging. None of us wants to be judged according to what we've done, but only according to God's mercy, and that's the same type of mercy we should show to each other. Only God can forgive our sins. So we don't want to let the opportunity pass us by. We don't want to wait until next Easter to go, but keep going. If you've already started going during Lent, keep that up. You know, let's think about Thomas for a minute, Thomas the Apostle. Thomas the Apostle was the last of the apostles to believe because he wasn't there the first Sunday to see the Lord. Now, the first Sunday, the Lord appeared to them, breathed the Holy Spirit on them, and he just showed them his wounds. None of them said, "I have to go up and touch the wounds." They believed. But with Thomas, it was different. He wanted to actually touch the Lord, to put his finger into the side, to put his finger into the wound. And it was only when he did that, when he made contact with the real flesh of the risen Lord, that he said, what? "My Lord and my God." And from that moment on, he never stopped saying those words. "My Lord and my God, the Lord has really risen. I have touched his flesh." He didn't stop in Jerusalem. He didn't stop anywhere. And that took him all the way to India. Thomas the Apostle went to India 2,000 years ago and brought the faith to southern India, to the southern Indian subcontinent. You remember Father Thomas, who was here? That's why his name is Thomas. Southern Indians, Christians, many of them are named Thomas after Thomas the Apostle. And we don't always think of that the gospel didn't just go to Rome or to Syria. It went further than we know, all the way to India. In the 1500s, when the Europeans, the Portuguese, arrived, they wandered down west from Goa and they discovered that the Syriac Christianity was already there, that there was already these Thomas Christians. They didn't know how it got there, but the Apostle Thomas is buried in India. We have to rise with the Easter light. Look at the candle. Look at the Paschal candle. The flame rises up. The pure beeswax represents the purity of God, the purity of Jesus, his sinlessness, that he was born without sin and that he died without sin. And the wick, that little wick, is our human nature that's burning away, purifying us. But the light is divine, always brightening the room, always rising up, up, up. God is not a jailer. He's not walking around waiting for us to make a mistake and he goes, aha, I caught you. No, God comes to unlock the prison gates, to let us out. He's our Savior. We should never be afraid of him. But sometimes we are our own jailers, our own imprisonment. We're the guards, we're the bars, we're the judge, the executioner of ourself. Only God saves. On this Divine Mercy Sunday, we can receive the complete or partial remission of all the temporal punishment due to sin. So we want to join the church to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 p.m. today, if we haven't already done so. Go to confession, receive Holy Communion, do the work of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and also say lovingly in your heart, Merciful Jesus, I trust in you. Now that can either be done today or in a certain amount of time before or after today. The Shrine of Divine Mercy in Massachusetts, I believe, says it can be done 20 days either before or after. So there's a lot of merciful time to do that. But we don't want to miss the opportunity because the temporal punishment due to sin is exactly what puts us into purgatory. In the confessional, we're healed of the guilt of sin, our relationship with God is restored, our relationship with the church is restored, and we're prevented from sins in the future. But what remains is called the temporal punishment due to sin, and that's why people have to purify in purgatory. Today, we can be totally cleaned of even that temporal punishment. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Merciful Jesus, I trust in you.